This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Who's our next guest, Macca?
I don't have no idea.
That's really helpful. We have a Yang Fa Liao, who's visiting here from Singapore. Yang Fa Liao is associated with a counselling service, an LGBTI counselling service based in Singapore. Good morning to you, Yang.
Hi, good morning. Yang, it's great to be here.
Great to have you in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Nice and nipply this morning.
It is.
Yes, it is. It is. Now, what's this T-shirt that you're wearing? It says, in rainbow colours, it says Gunkle. Like an uncle, only cool.
Yes, that's what it says.
And
I am a gunkle, so that's a gay uncle. And sometimes it's gunkle, grumpy gay uncle.
Oh, yes. We know a few of those.
That'd be us, Tash.
Now, Yang Fa, I understand that Singapore itself is one of those countries in the world that still criminalises homosexuality, but apparently it's not enforced.
Yeah, that's a long story. How much time have you got? Singapore, we are a first world country. We are probably one of few first world countries, developed countries left in the world where we've still got criminalisation of same-sex behaviour, specifically criminalisation of same-sex behaviour, consensual same-sex behaviour between adult men only. And that's a legacy of British colonialism and the language in the...
So not women?
Not women. No mention of women or transgender persons. Just adult men.
Yep. Just us. Now, many years ago, so when Harry Lee was Prime Minister, he had a particular view, but his son, who's now Prime Minister, he's actually been on record, if I'm correct, saying that we need to change these laws. But he's done nothing.
He's done nothing.
He's done nothing.
Partly because he's dead now and we don't call
him... Oh, he's
dead. Well, no, Harry is.
We don't call him Harry. It's Lee Kuan Yew.
Oh, I used to call him Harry.
Yep, well, that's what his family used to call him when he was much younger as well. And a bit of trivia on that. So talking about criminalisation in his in one of them, his books of published under his name, Hard Truths with Lee Kuan Yew, the legislation that criminalises same-sex adult behaviour is called Section 377A of the Penal Code.
Yep.
And maybe coincidentally or maybe deliberately, on page 377 of his book, he actually mentions that he is not against homosexuality.
Yeah.
So that's Lee Kuan Yew for you. And another bit of trivia, one of his grandsons, Lee Hwan Woo, has just come out as gay.
Oh.
So he's got a gay grandson. So we've got a founding prime minister who's one of his grandsons gay, and that means our current prime minister, one of his nephews gay. So it runs in a family.
So all of that context, what's it like to live as an openly gay man in a country that actually believes that you are wrong?
The word I sometimes use to describe Singapore for people who may or may not have been or may or may not be familiar with would be contradictions. So on the one hand, let me just use myself as an example. I am quite open and out as a gay man, as a social worker. I run an LGBT counselling centre. And from my own personal and professional experience as well, not many people, or not everyone is in the same position as I am. On the one hand, professionally, lots of people may be very comfortable with who they are, what they are professionally, and then their private lives, they may have to stay closeted. And then we also know lots of people who, for whatever reason, have been outed by families, or having difficulties as an out person at work as well. And that's just the adults. Think of all the young people as well who may have to go through difficulties, say, accessing support in mainstream schools, getting access to appropriate sexual health education for queer people. And then also, even though it's criminalization of same-sex transgender, same-sex behavior between men, transgender persons and women also kind of get impacted as well. It's that whole ripple effect, cascading effect of criminalisation.
So is there, understanding all that, and understanding somewhat, you know, the environment, you know, the economic environment, the political environment, this, you know, this 377A, is there a move to have this repealed or to be changed? I mean, and I'll use the right term, Lee Kuan Yew's son, mm-hmm. who's the current Prime Minister.
Current Prime Minister, yeah.
Has, you know, said previously that, you know, thinks we need to look at changing this, basically. Yep. So is it going to stay on the books, or is it culturally and politically too difficult? Or they think it's too difficult.
Probably all of the above. The last attempt to repeal 377A was back in 2007, so that's, 2006 actually.
10, 11 years, 12 years ago.
More than 10 years ago, in fact, right? So a bit of backstory to that. So 377 back then actually covered all the things that many people do. So, for example, there were bits of legislation that actually criminalised any oral and anal sex between two adults.
Any oral and anal sex between two adults.
So it means up to 2007, up to 2007, it was actually illegal in Singapore for a man and a woman to have oral and anal sex.
And so who policed that?
So you can imagine how difficult it was to enforce. So in 2007, they repealed those bits where it's consensual oral and anal sex between men and women, but they kept the part about criminalising oral anal sex between men.
So no blowjobs and no chewing gum.
That's another urban myth, actually. Chewing gum is actually allowed in Singapore.
Know.
It's just that, you know your stuff.
I know.
Blowjobs and chewing gum at the same time.
So you live in a society that essentially has this sort of contradictions and double standards.
Yes.
How can an organisation like yours, you know, like this LGBT counselling service, really exist? And how do you get funded?
We get asked that a lot. So as an organisation, we are one of very few LGBT plus organisations that are registered legally, in that we can operate premise. We have our office, and we can sign contracts. We have a bank account. So many of our other LGBT organisations in Singapore are not as lucky, because there actually is, thanks to 377A, lots of guidelines that prohibit registration of LGBT organisations. So on the one hand, we have actual cases of LGBT organisations wanting to register as a non-profit society, and they have been turned down. And the reason, official reason given, is to set up an organisation like that will be contrary to national interests. Mm. And that's the language used.
This station,
South Orwellian, doesn't
Joy,
it?
For example,
contrary to national interests.
Would not,
whatever that means,
would not get registered status in Singapore.
Probably, yep. So we were able to do that years and years and years ago. Well, not 2004.
You slipped under the radar.
Don't tell anyone.
No.
So, and then on the other hand, you've got an organisation called Pink Dot, mm-hmm. which is a LGBTI pride organisation, mm-hmm. akin to, say, Midsummer or
something like that,
or Mardi Gras in mm-hmm. Sydney. Mm-hmm. So how does that exist?
So what happens is Pink Dot, we just had the 10th Pink Dot about 2 weeks ago, 21st July. So Pink Dot basically is, I suppose it's Singapore's equivalent of a Pride rally. Pride March, except that we don't have much space to march. It's a very large group of people in a small park. Back to how in Singapore we've got very limited freedom of speech and expression.
And how many people turn up to this?
This year, or in previous years, they've had as many as more than 20, 25,000 people.
Oh,
in a
wow.
small park, probably the size of, I don't know, this office block probably. Yeah, so less than half square kilometre.
Wow.
So it's, and it's beautiful because we're all dressed in pink, so visually it's stunning as well. Except that with recent changes in legislation, they've had to put in barricades to keep, well, it makes you wonder whether it's to keep us in or to keep people
keep the others out.
Yeah. Mm. So.
Or maybe it might be for your safety.
That's the official line as well. Yeah, because, you know, anti-terrorism.
Because,
yeah,
you know, anti-rules and the national that. Interest might attack you.
Yeah, true. Or we might spill over and become too fabulous for the
That's
country.
That's right.
So seriously, how do people feel?
Mm-hmm.
I know I shouldn't ask questions about. I heard this on Radio National this morning. Actually, you should ask objective questions, not feeling based questions. But what does it feel like to live in a society that actually has these contradictions, mm-hmm. and that essentially you could be jailed for being just who you are?
Technically speaking, you can imagine there's a whole diversity of reactions, emotional reactions for lots of people. For some, it's really, really conflicting as well, because it can be scary, frightening to be outed at work, for example, out of my family, and we do know of situations where people will lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on the other hand, for those of us who are fortunate enough to be supported and be out, so that's so a whole range of mixed and diverse experiences as well. And not just for men, but also for women and transgender persons as well. So that's really, really difficult on the one hand. And yet, I know for many of us in the community, there's also a lot of hope. Hope for what may or what not what may happen, what should and will happen in the future.
Do you think, you know, the absence almost of an elected opposition in Singapore, it's a bit hard to get traction, isn't it, politically?
So back to attempts to repeal in the past 12 years, there's been one attempt to repeal it through parliament. That didn't work. There's been two other attempts to challenge the constitutionality of it in the courts. That didn't quite work as well. I do believe that, well, I'm 43 this year, just told
them. No.
Very kind, yeah. I've got a face for radio.
we all do.
I do really
That's
believe
why we're
that,
here.
And many, many of us do believe that repeal will happen within our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe within the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, if it takes that long, it will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So,
Yang Fel, we're almost out of time. So before we do go, what are you doing in Melbourne? Why are you here?
So it's back to where I'm wearing this T-shirt, the Gunkle T-shirt. I'm actually here with two of my nieces. I've got five of them. Two of them are here with one studies here, and I've just chaperoned the other one to come visit. And we're having a really, really nice time. My niece, the 16-year-old, it's her first time in Australia. She's really, really enjoying it. So that's my role. I call it my Gunkle duties.
There you go. Now you get one of these to take with you. So you can take that back to Singapore. It's probably against the national interest.
It probably is. Can I just describe what it is?
It's an espresso cup and spoon, and it has @SatMagJoy94, and it has the Twitter handle on there. It probably is against the national interest in Singapore, but
to have espresso, yeah.
I might
get frisked, or I might get confiscated at customs.
Yeah, you're a cafe.
Well, it'll remind you.
Depends
of
where I hide it, I suppose.
It'll remind you of our hashtag, and you'll be able to engage with us.
And of course, all your friends and supporters in Singapore can listen into this podcast.
Of course they can.
They can download it and they can listen to Joy. So
we'll tell everyone.
Mr. Lee, we may be against the national interest, but you know what? People want to listen to us.
If you're lucky, we might get Mr. Lee's nephew.
That would be lovely. Can you organise that for us?
You know what? Make an appeal to him right now on this.
What's his name?
His name is Lee Huan Wu.
Lee Huan Yu, we would love you to come onto our show. You are welcome any Saturday morning. All you need to do is just let us know.
And you can come on and you can tell your story.
Lovely.
There you go.
Yang Fel Liao, thank you very much for coming into the studio this morning. You've taken a bit of time out of your busy holiday schedule with your nieces.
Gunkle duties, yeah.
Your Gunkle duties. The Ugachaga Counselling Service for LGBTI people in Singapore. Thank you very much for your time again.
Yeah,
and enjoy
you.
Your
Good work.
Travels.
And thank you for your work. It's important.
Pleasure to be here.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.